Good morning. Marsha has suggested that because of the tragic events of the last week, it's a class in Tehillim, we should at least begin the class with the reading of a chapter of Tehillim. I'm going to do a little bit, maybe slightly more than that. I'm going to take what I consider to be one of the very significant chapters in Tehillim that we will have to study at much greater depth. But let's read through it together rather than just say it. I'll read it, and then maybe we'll say it together afterwards. Take a look at chapter 44. Chapter 44, I'd just rather learn it than just say it. It is the story of the tragic parts of Jewish history. L'Natzeach L'Bnei Korach Maskil. For the conductor, written by the sons of Korach, Maskil is a form of poem. Elokim ba'azneinu shamanu, God, with our ears we have heard, avoteinu sitrulanu, our fathers told us, poor pa'ota b'yimeyen, there are things that you did in their days, we may care them in the days of old. We heard that there were things that you did in the days of old. What was it that you did by Yomim Haheim in those days? With your own hand you drove out the nations, and you planted them, the Jewish people, in your land. You inflicted pain on nations, and you sent them away. They did not inherit the land with their sword, and their arm is not that which saved them. We didn't accomplish all that we have accomplished in history by virtue of our own strength and our own might. Your right hand and your arm, and the light that emanates from your face, because you wanted your children, you wanted the people of Israel. See, here the psalmist says in the middle, I agree, you are my king, O God. So therefore I ask of you, I beg of you, Savei Yeshuot Yaakov, command that there be salvation for Yaakov. And with you, the two of us together, Klal Yisrael and God, an unbeatable team. Bechol, with you, Tzoreinu Ninageach, we will be able to gore our foes. Beshimcha, with your name, Novus Komeinu, we will defeat those who rise up against us. Novus is a word that is used in a number of ways in modern Hebrew. A defeat is a tvusa. Navos coming. Kilo v'kashti etach, I don't place my trust in my bow. V'charbi lo toshieni, and it's not my sword that is going to save me. Ki hoshatonu mitzareinu, you're the one who saved us from our oppressors. U'misaneinu hevi shota, and you shamed those who hate us. Be'elohim hilalnu kol hayom, v'shimcha la'olam nodesela. It was God whom we praised all day, and your name we thanked, Sela. End of first part of this chapter of Tehillim. But there are other moments in Jewish history where it seems that the opposite is true. Av zomachta, you forsook us, v'tachlimenu, and you shamed us. And it seems you're not going out at the head of our armies. It's not always God who is the one who destroys our enemies. There are moments in history when it would seem as though God is in concealment. Tishivenu achor minitzar. We turn backwards from before the oppressor. Umisaneinu shosu lamo. And our those who hate us trample upon us or plunder us. Shosu in Lechadodi we say V'hoyu min shisa shosayach. Those who trample and plunder you should be trampled. So he's now talking about a different moment in Jewish history. And this different moment in Jewish history, Eliezer Berkowitz, in his book Faith After the Holocaust, he uses this chapter 44, to express the feeling of the Jew after the Holocaust. And you'll see how it begins to emerge, but we're only going to do it very, very briefly now. We're going to need to study this chapter. Titnenu kitson ma'achal. You have given us over into the hand of our enemies like sheep to be consumed. Ubagayim zeidi tanu. And you dispersed us amongst the nations. Tinkor amcha b'lo hal. You sold your people without receiving any great price. V'lo libitav v'michidehem. You didn't inflate their price. You didn't ask for anything for them. You gave them over into the hands of the enemy, and you didn't even make anything on it. Tesimenu chervol shcheinenu. You have made us a source of shame before our neighbors. Lag v'keles l'svivotenu. We're a source of mockery and scorn for those all around us. Tesimenu moshol bagoyim. You've made us a moshol. When the nations of the world want to talk about an accursed, wandering people, the Jew. The term Jew has become, at many moments in history, it was an absolute pejorative. Look in the dictionary sometime and see how Jew is used as a verb too. To simenu mashal pagayim minod rosh baleumim. The nations of the world sort of shake their heads, or they may shake their heads, oh, good, the dirty Jews are getting what they deserve. Kol hayom klimati negdi, all day, my shame is there before me. Uboshet ponai kisosni, and my face is covered with embarrassment. For whom? Mikol mechadeif umekadeif. From the sound of those who mock, curse, and revile us. I am full of shame, mitnei oyev umitnakein, from before the enemy and the one who wants to take revenge from me. I'm complaining now, right? I'm describing a terrible, terrible period in Jewish history to you. And I'm blaming you for it, but I want you to know, kol zot ba'asnu, all of this has come upon us, v'lo shechachanucha, and we have not forgotten you, v'lo shikanu bivriteha, and we have not dealt falsely with the covenant. Yes?
Is this a prediction of what was going to happen? Is this in the
I don't know whether we can call it a prediction, but we... These are the ups and downs of Jewish history. The first part, First of all, there's nothing. You know, I shouldn't have been taken aback for a moment. It may very well be Beruach Hakodesh. Even if there was no such period, it may be. For example, there's a capital in Tehillim on the Harod Babel by the rivers of Babylon. Shom Yoshavnu Gam Bachinu, there we sat and we cried. Shom Talinu Kinarotenu, we hung our harps there because our captors asked us, Jew, sing the songs of Zion. This was certainly written before that period in history. It's written by Ruach HaKodesh, that there's going to be a time that Jews are going to find themselves on the way out to exile by the rivers of Babylon, and they're going to take an oath in Eshbachech Yerushalayim Tishkachim. So now there are periods of great victory, and in those periods of victory, so the psalmist describes that we know it was not our bow, it was not our sword, it's you, your bow, your sword, your arm, your strength, your might. But there are other periods in Jewish history when we are trampled upon, when we are plundered, when we are shamed, embarrassed, cursed, reviled throughout the world. But despite all of that, Lo shechachnucha, we didn't forget you, for lo shikanu bivritecha, and we did not act falsely with regard to the covenant. Lo nasok ochor libeinu, our hearts did not withdraw or retreat. Nasok is also a word that's used in modern Hebrew. A nesiga is a withdrawal, a retreat, a nesiga. Lo nasok ochor libeinu, our heart has not turned back. Vateit ashurenu mini orchecha, and our footsteps have not moved from your path. We continue to remain loyal, though we suffer, we remain loyal. And now he describes awesome suffering of the Jewish people. You crushed us in a place of serpents, and the very shadow of death covered us. Not a bad description of a concentration camp, being covered in absolute darkness. In shachachnu shem Elokeinu, if you think that we have forgotten the name of our God, if you think that that we stretched out our hands in prayer to a strange God, check it out, Rabbi Shlomo. Make a vaadat chakina. Alol kim yachosot. God can investigate this. Ki hu yodea ta'alumot leiv, because he knows the secrets of the heart. And the secrets of the heart are the following. This is the powerful pasuk. Ki olecha horagnu kol hayom. For your sake we were killed every day. Nechshavnu kitzon tivcha. We were considered like sheep to the slaughter. Una! Wake up! Lamatishan Hashem. God, why do you sleep? Hakitza, arouse! Al tiznach lanetzach. Don't forsake us into eternity. Lama ponecha tastir. Why do you conceal your face before us? I mean, here we're talking about a classic description of the Shoah. Hester ponen, God's concealing of his face. Lama ponecha tastir. Why do you conceal your face? Tishkach onyenu v'lachatzenu. The word lama, as we point out a number of times, the word goes on both parts of the sentence. Why do you forget our affliction and our oppression? Kishocha la'ofar nafshenu. We are prostrated into the dust. We've been bent down into the dust. Dovka la'odez bitmenu, our stomach clings to the earth. We're prostrated, we're stepped upon. Kuma ezrotalanu. Arise and help us. Ufedenu. And redeem us, leman chazdecha, for your goodness, for your sake. This is a chapter that describes the peak periods of victory and more than anything else, it describes the period of great suffering. And what we say to the Rebbeinu Shem is, despite it all, we have remained absolutely faithful and loyal to you. Go check it out. You know Talmud of Lev. You know the secrets of the heart. You know what goes on in our heart. And we remain absolutely faithful to you. Very powerful chapter. I hope you read it. You read it along with me. You look like you listen. Okay. This is for the Kuma Ez Rasalam. I think that's the what we are saying. For Ben Shalom, we need you. It's not going to be the Cobra helicopter. It's not going to be anything. There are so many possibilities of whatever's happening over here to break out into who knows what. We need Siyata Dishmaya every day. Yes?
Right.
So you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to tell you that today we just read it. And that's why I said earlier, there's so much that has to be said about this chapter, and I'm really, you know, one thing I pride myself on is that I always prepare a shiur. I didn't prepare a shiur for this chapter 44. And I wouldn't touch chapter 44 without a great deal of study of the Mefarshim. I can start making up my own stuff.
But
we will. Yes, Hashem, once we started it. Because I told Moshe, I was thinking this morning, I'm going to talk about the chapters of song and praise and joy, when the move now is not song, praise, and joy. But after we've at least read this, now we can do, and even the song, praise, and joy is, okay, you know. Listen, the tzaddas are terrible. Maybe the biggest tzadda is, and you know, when I thought about this often, in the chapter here it says, Nechshavnu, we were considered Kitzon Tifcha, like sheep who went to the slaughter. The youth who grew up in this country after the Holocaust were taught, in some sense, to look down upon the Goyim Jew who permitted himself to be taken like sheep to the slaughter. That's what they taught them. That's what they taught them here. Ugly. Very ugly. Anybody who knows the history of the Second World War, mighty nations fell before Italy and Maximo. What was a defenseless people to do? These guys of Chachomim, they would have been there, their fate would have been no different. But I want to say something else that bothers me. If there are a people that has permitted itself or taken itself to the slaughter, that's the modern Israeli Jew who has one of the best armies in the world and the best air force in the world, and he doesn't use it. He's worse than the Goyim Jew that was taken to forcibly to Auschwitz. Much worse. What's your excuse? Why don't you go out and protect Klal Yisrael? Isn't that what we came here for? That there should be a haven for Jews someplace in the world? You have the power, you have the might, and you don't use it. And that's a bit of a curse too. That's a bit of a curse too. It's a terrible, terrible thing. You know? And this is what they taught the children over here, to look upon the Galut Jew. The leadership of our country is more Galuti than the Galut Jew. The Galut Jew, in fact, didn't have power, so he had to use all sorts of means to find favor in the eyes of the local lord or the local duke. But what do we know over here? It's a completely different story. I mean, we care. When Jews are being killed in the street, it makes a difference. In other words, it's like, wow, do you know that President Bush said we have a right to defend ourselves? How do you like that? You see, I think we're going to make a big yonder. You know what it sounds like? Me, it reminds of Ahasuerus in the Megillah. He gives them the right,
You can go ahead and defend yourself. Shkoyach, big deal.
I have always said, what's the difference between Hanukkah and Purim? On Purim, we had to wait for Bishul Shveirosh to give us permission to defend ourselves. On Hanukkah, we didn't ask anybody to defend ourselves. And I said that that's the difference between the Jew in Eretz Yisrael and the Jew in Chutz Lartz. The Jew in Chutz Lartz needed to wait to be granted permission, and not only that, then, you know, once Bush said it, so Powell said it later in a press conference in Romania, and this morning it's already an item of the European community, has also said, yes, Israel has a right to defend itself. It should be developed. But the truth is developed, not from Mishugoyim. We're Mishugoyim. We're Mishugoyim. That's right. First we have to suffer, and then we have a right to defend ourselves. And I want to know grace and defense. So how does a suicide bomber make it in a few blocks away from here this morning? How did he get in? How did he get in? This is the great defense over here. You know how he got in?
Everybody gives Israel the right to defend itself, except our own politicians.
All right, that's going a little. We're not going to get into that. Yes. That's right. But then you're right. He walked in from East Jerusalem. There was a pigua here. A few blocks away by the Hilton Hotel. So there was a mess. Six people hurt. Okay. All right. That was the chapter that we learned. But in Yetz Hashem, we will get back to that. Maybe I'll get back to that as soon as we finish the unit. We have what chapter were we up to? 90? No, no. We're 95 or 96 or 97? 97. Wait, I just want. There was somebody else that had a hand raised over here. Go ahead.
If a person wants to say TV for a certain subject and they don't know what TV is for,
then you know what I would suggest? There are different lists. If what I would suggest is, if you can put together for me a list of lists to make lists of, then I'll do it for you. In other words, for example, there are lists up to him to be said for when somebody needs a refuah shleimah, right? But then, say, some of the tehillim have it in the back, but for some of the certain occasions, I have my own that I choose more than others. I may let you in on that. Just come around and I'll let you in on the ones that I find most meaningful to me personally. Yes. We finished 97? Great. I thought we may have finished 97. Because I want to finish this unit. The wrap up is going to be very beautiful.
No, but I have a question.
Yes, I know you have. Yeah, go ahead.
Okay.
Yeah, go ahead.
Going back to what Rhoda mentioned at the beginning about whether this is a gevurah or something.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Is it heretical to think that those healing ones composed when it was composed, that all of these the seeming references to the current life or modern life or later life were added? Why do we have to have this I don't even know how to describe it, but it's a feeling that you have to believe that this was
because
some kind of civil war.
There are things that are said in Tehillim that could never have happened in the days of David or those who wrote it.
So is it heretical to believe that they were added when they were?
No. Ever? Yes, it's heretical.
Oh.
How do you like that?
Oh.
It's heretical.
Okay.
Because we know by the time of the Anshe Knesset HaGadolah, the Tehillim had been completed. It's more than that. It's not a matter of heresy. It's a matter of Take something like the Shemona Esrei. I don't believe that there's any situation that can arise in life that will not find its expression someplace in the Shemona Esrei. Person's worried about panasa, has panasa. You're worried about refuah, refuah. You're worried about the enemies of Israel, v'lam al shinim. The genius of the men of the great assembly is that they were able to compose a prayer, a Shemona Esrei, that is so all-encompassing, and it's brief. It's very brief. Doesn't take more than a few minutes to say a Shemona Esrei. But it includes any possible situation that will ever arise. David in Tehillim, together with those, there are 10 people who wrote Tehillim, dealt with all of life's situations, and therefore they're going to keep coming up again and again, because life repeats itself, just like history. And at the time that they wrote it, listen, David HaMelech's life alone was enough to write about every conceivable situation, because he experienced anything that you want to experience. He has experienced fear, he experienced terror, he was pursued, he was victorious in battle, he rose to greatness, he had a baby child that died, a son we talked about who rebelled against him. Whatever tzara or joy you can imagine by a human being, David HaMelech lived through it. And he was able to express it in tefillah. So why shouldn't it have been written long, long time ago? Yet in its brilliance, Lahavu, believe me, Lahavu, Elef, Alfei, Elef, Mavdalas. You think that Shakespeare is not full of wisdom that can deal with so many of life's situations? If that's true of Shakespeare, kal v'chomer, then the notion kal v'chomer that it's true of David HaMelech. What are you talking about? There are one-liners in Shakespeare that just express things more powerful than full values. So why couldn't David HaMelech do it? So you don't have to be a heretic. You can be a believer. That's all. Believe that he wrote it all, and believe that he expressed, know that he lived through every situation. I gotta move. I gotta move. 98. Starting from, just to recap, starting from 95, there's gonna be one unit from 95 to 100. The unit is gonna end with Mizmor Lesoda. Mizmor Lesoda is 5 psukim. Those 5 psukim are going to wrap up this entire group of 6 mizmorim. The 6, as we said, not counting Mizmor Lesoda, are the ones that we say Friday night, each one corresponding to another day of the week, but we take out Mizmor Lesoda, and that we'll talk about when we get to it, and we insert something else. But there is an idea here. We're talking about joy, happiness, and the joy and the happiness emerges as a result of our relationship with God, and that's the joy with which we are to greet the Shabbos. Okay, let's take a look. Mizmor 98. Mizmor. Shiru Hashem Shir Chodosh, sing to God a new song. Ki Niflaot Asah, because he has done miracles. Now, the Malbim has explained that the first 3 chapters over here talk about God as he appears in nature. The new song is, the new song that we're going to sing is about those moments in history where God breaks out of nature and works in supernatural ways. As we pointed out in our last year, Niflaot comes from the word Pele, and Pele means something that is beyond the laws of nature. So for this we have to have a Shir Chadash, a new song. Kiniflawatasa. Hoshia lo yemino. Hoshia lo yemino uzroa kacho. Hoshia lo, what saved him? What brought the salvation of him, the Jewish people? Where is our salvation from? Yemino, his right hand, uzroa kacho, and his holy arm. Our salvation, and our salvation can very often come in a manner that is pele, that nobody would have believed that it happened. And therefore this places a responsibility on us. Hodia, Hodia Hashem, Yeshuato. God made a salvation, and he made it known in the world. He made it known. When we say that he made it known, it means obviously that it is a salvation that goes beyond what a normal human being would expect. And he revealed before the very eyes of the nations, he revealed tzidkaso, his righteousness. Now, we've mentioned it a number of times, the word tzedek in Nevi'im very often means salvation. Because that's right. That Israel oppressed should be saved by God. This is an act of justice. Remember, the word tzedek as charity is not a Tanakh meaning. The word tzedek does not mean charity as in tzedakah. At the beginning of Shoftim, it says Shoftim v'Shoftim in Sefer Devarim. Shoftim v'Shoftim, Tikkun l'Chol Sha'arecha. You should have justices and officers, police in all of your gates, because tzedek tirdof doesn't mean to pursue charity, but to pursue a righteousness that is just. Tzedek tirdof. That Israel should be saved from its enemies is tzedek. That's the right thing. So God has revealed it. So by this pasuk, Hodi Hashem Yishuato, Le'inei Hagoyim Gilat Tzidkato, we see that we're talking about something that is recognized by the nations of the world. Zocha Chazdo Be'emunato Le'Beit Yisrael. He remembered Chazdo. Now the word chesed, kindness, is another key word that always means something that God does beyond the natural. An act of God's chesed. An act of his loving kindness. The emunato. Now what does emunato mean? Now you can't say his belief. It doesn't fit. What do you mean his belief? So you have to understand that the word emunato or emuna in Tanakh also has another meaning, and that meaning is that he keeps his word. He keeps his promises. As in modern Hebrew, what do we say about a person whom you can trust? Amin. Amin. And emunato means you can count on him. You can bet on him. He is going to keep his promises. Zachar, he remembered Chazdo, and emunato, the promise, Lebeit Yisrael, to the house of Israel. And as a result of that, he saved them in miraculous fashion, and lo, holasei oretz, all the very ends of the earth saw at Yeshua Elokeinu, the salvation of our God. And therefore, the responsibility now becomes Hodiu Hashem kol haaretz. The entire world should shout with joy to God. Pitzchu v'ranenu v'zameru. Burst forth. Pitzchu is like pitzuchim. Why are pitzuchim called pitzuchim? What are pitzuchim? Huh? No. You see the Israeli on Shabbos. They got him in, and they, you know, you have to open it up. Nutcracker sweet. Tchaikovsky's nutcracker sweet is mitatseach. It goes in. Mitatseach. It's something that bursts forth. It doesn't simply rise, but it bursts forth. Bursts forth with song, laminu, vizamedu. Now, the laminu most probably means vocal, and zamedu can be instrument. Remember, we're a few chapters after. The call that begins this unit is L'chu Neranana. Let's go and sing before God. And in the first few chapters we're talking about singing before God for that which he does within the realm of the natural. Now we're talking about bursting forth with song because he does things that are miraculous for his people. Zamru L'Hashem B'chino. Now you see that Zemer is instrumental with a harp. Bechinor, the kol zimra. Imagine all of the sounds that come along with it. The chatzotzrot, the kol shofar, trumpets, and the sound of the shofar. Ah, now why all of this? Because when God acts in a revealed fashion, he lets the world know that he is king. So imagine that we are standing before the king. The fellows with the trumpets, you understand, begin blessing. The multitude cries out before the king, Yechi HaMelech, long live the king. God save this. We can't say God save the king to God, right? That's what I'm confused with. The chatzotzot with trumpets, the kol shofar and sound of the shofar, hordiyu, cry out with the Amalek Hashem. So now the first part of this mizmor is talking, first of all, the Jews are the ones that should sing to God. We're the beneficiaries. Second, because now he has shown his greatness to the nations of the world, they should shout out in song for God. But not only that, all of nature. Yiram hayam mulo, let the sea and all that fills it. Yiram is the word ram, thunder. Nature should thunder. Tevel, the whole world, the Yoshepa, and those who live in that world. Naharos, the rivers, Yimcholcha, the rivers are going to clap along with this great burst of song and joy that comes up from all of creation. Yachav harim yiranenu. Together, together with everybody else. Or the mountains are going to sing again. Yiranenu l'chu neranana. Where else do we have this, a pasuk of this sort? Ki v'simcha teitzeyu. Uvushalom tuvalon, pasuk in Yeshayahu, ki v'simcha teitzeh uvushalom, ha'horim v'akba'ot yitzchu lifneichen v'ino v'chol atzei hasode yimchau cha. That pasuk appears in the Torah for a first day. It's talking about it, huh? I'm going to do that right now. First of all, it's a song. It's a song. I think there are a few different manginot of the song. It's talking about the Jewish people on their way out of exile. So the Navi Yeshayahu says, "Ki v'simcha teitzeyu, you're going to leave the exile. You're going to go out with great joy. U'v'shalom, and in peace, to volun, you will be brought to Eretz Yisrael." The mountains and the hills, Yitzchu, Pitzchu, are going to burst out with Nechem before you in song. Ha'horim v'agbos, Yitzchu with Nechem, Rina, v'chol, atzei, hasadeh, and all the trees of the field, Yimcha'u chav, are going to clap the hand, precisely the words of the Adonai. By the way, there are many psukim in Tehillim. And you know, if Tehillim was written before Yeshayahu, then it may very well be that Yeshayahu received his inspiration from Psukim in Tehillim. All of nature bursts out into joy. By the way, this is a feeling sometimes that that we sort of get ourselves. I'm afraid I can't. Sometime after Pesach, I knew I'd walk a Shabbos morning from my home to shul in West Hempstead. And one morning, you just see all of nature in bloom. It was Mishageya, I tell you. I would like dance to shul, the burst of color, life. I felt that every bush and every tree was singing. So now of course I wait till our roof garden bursts into bloom. I imagine it'll be sometime after Pesach. It's getting a real beating now. Oh, it's getting a beating. You can feel in nature a burst, an explosion of joy. And that's what the Pasuk says. And again, the idea, what did we say in Pasuk 6? Hordiyu, shout out in joy, Lifnei HaMelech Hashem. And now, why is all of nature bursting forth? Lifnei Hashem, before God. Kivo lishvot ha'aretz, because he has come to judge the earth. And Yishvot Tevil B'Tzedek, he is going to judge the world with righteousness. V'amim, and peoples of the world, b'nei sharim, straight, correct. And that's a source of joy. When HaKadosh Baruch Hu does mishpat, when God judges, that ultimately means joy for the world. Because it means that the evil and the wicked are receiving their just deserts. 99. Hashem Malach. Do you see how this follows? What did we say in the chapter before? Hariyu. We said Hariyu Lefayam Elah Hashem. Cry out before the King God. Lefnashem Kivolish Vot Haaretz. We're talking about God, who is the King. So now, if so, the next chapter says Hashem Moloch. God has ruled. He has ruled. Yirgizu Amim. The nations tremble. Yoshev Keruvim Ara. You know what's happening now? In the chapter before, we talked about a God who rules over the world, the King. In this last chapter before Mizmor Torah, you know, we're going to find out something that we didn't really have in all of the chapters before. We did hear about God's right hand and his arm bringing salvation to his people. But now we're going to move from his people to the location of God. Yoshev Kerunim. But now God is described as the one who dwells between the cherubs in the Kodesh HaKodashim on Har Abayit, Har HaMoriah. Before him, Tonut Haaretz, the earth should move and shake. This God is not only the God of the whole world and the whole universe. There is a specific location that is his address. Hashem B'Tzion Gadol. Oh, all of a sudden now things are beginning to fall into place. God is great in Zion, and from there, Ramhu al Kol Ha'amin, he is raised and exalted above all nations of the world. He has a place, he has an address on the face of this earth, and that address is Zion. Yodu Shincha. Gadol v'nora kadosh hu. Just thought of something now. I'll throw it out to you. Share it with you. Yodu shimcha, they will thank your name. Gadol v'nora, great and awesome. Yeah. Kadoshu, he is holy. I'll just tell you the thoughts that went flesh into my head. We've learned in the past a famous statement of our rabbis, Lomo Nigru Shimon Anshe Knesset HaGadolah, why were the men of the great assembly called the men of the great assembly? Men of the great assembly were 120 rabbis, and amongst them there were prophets, Haggai, Zechariah, Malachi. They were the ones who set the course of Jewish belief and thought at Shivat Zion, when Jews returned from exile, from the Babylonian exile. One of the Shimon HaTzadik was the last of the Anshei Knesset HaGadolah. The Anshei Knesset HaGadolah, so the Gemara asks, why were they called Anshei Knesset HaGadolah? Men of the great assembly. He prays before Hokel, HaGadol, HaGibor, VaHanora, the great, the mighty, the strong, and the fearsome. Okay, awesome. So then the Gemara goes on to say that when Yirmiyahu saw the Churban HaBayit, he saw the destruction of the Beit HaMikdash, he did not call God Gibor, because Ayei no Rotav, where is his might? Well, I think now Ayei no Rotav, he didn't call him no Rotav. Jason, because here Goyim were in the Holy of Holies defiling it. So where is his fearsomeness? But Daniel, afterwards Daniel came, and when he prays, he does not refer to God as Gibor, as mighty. Because take a look, Jews are in exile, his people are downtrodden, where is his might? Then came the people of the great assembly, and when they composed the Shemoneh Esrei that we talked about before, when they composed it, they started the brother Baruch HaKa Hashem Elokeinu Elokei Hokel HaGadol HaGibor VaHanorah. They returned the crown to its original glory. They described God the way Moshe described God in Torah. The Gemara goes on to ask, so how did Yirmiyahu not describe God as Noah? How did Daniel not describe God as Gibor? And then the answer of the Gemara is absolutely magnificent. The Gemara says, Mikivam Shahayotin HaKadosh Baruch Hu, they knew that God is amiti, is truthful. Therefore, Lo Shiknu Bo, they didn't lie to him. What's Yirmiyahu supposed to say? He sees the destruction of the Beit HaMikdash. Baruch Hashem! Is that what he's supposed to say? Baruch Hashem! I see the hand of God. God, give me a break. You know, I get a little annoyed, you know, the Holocaust, you know, Ritzon Hashem, wow. We're in Ritzon Hashem, give me a break. About the Holocaust, the best that you're supposed to say is that Nebuchadnezzar was a profound tragedy, the greatest tragedy in all of history, and it is a concealment of God's face. Yirmiyahu is honest. He's not going to say, Baruch Hashem, whatever the Rebbeinu does, that's great. What do you mean whatever the Rebbeinu does is great? Do you know, we talked about Nochemish Gamzu or Rabbi Akiva, when they said, Gamzu Litova, this is for the best. It's when it's something that happened to them. Don't say Gamzu Litova on what happened to 6 million people. Or call the Ovid Rahman or whatever God does is for the best. Give me a break. You only have a right to say that about something that happens to you. But as far as somebody else is concerned, it's profound, profound tragedy. Yirmiyahu sees the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash, so what's he supposed to do? You have to be honest. He knows how he feels. He feels the way a good Jew should feel. Profound tragedy. He simply can't describe God as Noah. Daniel sees the Jewish people enslaved in exile. He doesn't see God's Kibura. He believes that God can be Gibor, but he doesn't see it. So what's he going to do? He's going to describe the salvation. Praise be the Lord. Anshei Knesset HaGadolah, we pointed out in the past, they lived in a different period in history where they saw the return of Jews to Eretz Yisrael. So they saw a different face. They saw the face of Hakel HaGadol HaGibor HaNorah. So I wonder, when I came to this pasuk, Yodu Shimcha, and very often we will find psukim in Tehillim that deal with the name of God. Yodu Shimcha, they should thank your name, but take a look at the way he describes him. Godol and Nora. Kodoshu. What about Gibor? I don't know if it's such a good kasha, but I like it. What happened with Gibor? So I believe that the greatest expression of God's Gevura is by saying Kadosh Hu. We had explained, and I'm not going to learn, just trust me, have faith, that when God is called Kadosh, His Kedusha expresses itself by being completely devoted to the Jewish people. Kadosh usually means something that's sanctified, separate. Yes, God is separate from the vessel. Hadei at mikudeshet li betabatsu kedat Moshe Yisrael. A man is mekadesh, a woman, so it means two things. She is separated from the rest of the world, and she becomes one with her husband. The Kedusha HaKadosh Baruch Hu means that he is in a sense separated from the rest of the world and devoted completely to the Jewish people. Therein, those words describe his Gevura on behalf of the Jewish people. And we may prove it from other Pesukim as well. Because the words Kadosh Hu are going to appear not only here, but at the end of Pasuk Hey as well. In a sense, Kadosh Hu, there are some of us who say, Kadosh Hu is the refrain. In other words, there's somebody who's standing in the Beit HaMikdash, because remember we start off with Lechun Adam, but let's go. Go where? Where we go? We're going to the Beit HaMikdash. The Chatzadot Beit Hashem, we're going to see, we're in the courtyard of God. If we're going to come, the next parrot is going to be Mizmah L'Toda, a song for a Toda, we're bringing the Korban Toda to the Beit HaMikdash. So here, say the Kohen tells everybody, Yodu Shimcha Gadol Menorah. So what do they answer? Their response is, Kadosh Hu. And we're going to see again that they respond that way. And I think it's true, because we see that the next words are, V'oz Melech Mishpat Oev. The strength of this king is that he loves justice. Ato konanto leisharim. You are the one who established the fundamentals of righteousness. Mishpat u'tzdaka b'Yaakov ato asita. Judgment and righteousness in Yaakov, you did. You have to notice something else, and I think it may be true in all of the chapters that we've learned. There is a constant movement from third person to second person. The chapter started Hashem Moloch. God is king. Hashem b'tzion gadol. God is great in Tzion. Oh, but then by Pasuk 3, Yodu Shimcha. Thank your name. Ato konanto leisharim. You have established right. Do you see there's been a switch? There's been a switch from third person talking about him to talking to you. Mishpat u'tzdaka b'Yaakov, justice and righteousness in Yaakov. Ato asita. You did it. Usually, the change in persons works in a different direction. The classic example, one that we've talked about in the past as well in other shiurim, it's the Rashba, one of the Rishonim, who asks the question. Take a look at, we say bracha, right? That's the bracha? Huh? I never said it. Okay. Now watch the bracha. Baruch Atah Hashem. Blessed are you, God. I'm talking directly to him. Elokeinu, our God. Melech Ha'olam, King of the world. Asher Kiddushonu, who has sanctified us. What do you mean Asher Kiddushonu? If I'm talking directly to him, I should say Asher Kiddushonu B'mitzvotecha V'tzivitonu L'ad L'knei Shel Shabbos. There's a switch in persons. We stop up speaking to God in first person. Baruch Atasha! Baruch Atasha! Blessed are you! Say it directly to him. And then in mid-bracha, we switch persons and we talk about God. Who sanctified us? Asher kiddushanu, not Asher kiddushanu. You sanctified us. So, from the talk of the Mephoshim, what emerges is, in a sense, the idea that there are two faces to God. God is both immanent and transcendent. God is both close and distant. He's near and he's far. He is Avinu, Father, close, warm, but he is also Malkeinu, our King, removed. King is removed. Jew starts a bracha, and this is the way our rabbis wrote it, Baruch Ato Hashem. You know, I feel a sense like I'm going to perform a mitzvah now. Baruch Ato Hashem, blessed are you God. Elokeinu, our God. And then I say the Melech word. Melech Ha'olam, King of the world. And all of a sudden, I'm taken aback. I'm standing in the presence of Melech Ha'olam. They, King of the world. So therefore, man is taken aback and does not feel that he can anymore talk to God in first person. Can't talk to him directly, but he talks Asher Kiddushanu, who sanctified us. You begin by thanking God, saying the bracha, and talking to him as though he's Avinu, our Father. He's close, he's near, and then all of a sudden you realize that he is Malkeinu, he's Melech Ha'olam, and therefore there's a sense of recoil, distance, moving away. Here, the structure of all of these chapters in Tehillim is in the opposite direction. It begins with describing God in third person. Hashem is great in Zion. He is raised above all of the nations of the world. And then we begin to realize that this great God, he's our personal God. This great Melech, Hashem Melech, Yisroel. So here we move in precisely the opposite direction, emotionally and intellectually. We first talk about a great king who's the king of the whole world, and then all of a sudden we remind ourselves, you know, we have a very close and intimate relationship with this king of the world. What an amazing relationship there is between Klal Yisrael and the Rebbe Nishlema. So while we start off in third person, I say in this sense, the nearer we get to him, the more we sense his love, his compassion, and his kindness. You know, from the distance he's Melech. But when you get closer, you know, you become buddy-buddy with the Melech, and you see that he's like a tata, Malkeinu and then Avinu. In bracha, the structure of bracha, Chazal wanted when you say a bracha, so what is it that compels you to say the bracha? You're very thankful, yeah? You're a millionaire. You know, you can perform this stuff. So it begins with a sense of being near, and then comes the recoil. Here it's precisely the opposite. Ramu Hashem Alakenu, raise and uplift, exalt God our God. V'ishtachavu l'hadom raglav, and bow down l'hadom raglav, to his footstool. His footstool is not only the world, but more than that, it's Yerushalayim, Tzion, Har HaMoriah. Ah, again, Kadosh Hu, he is holy. And now to point out how much closer we are getting. This is the only time that the writer of the psalm mentions the names of people who became so close. Moshe v'Aharon v'Kohanim, Moshe and Aharon are ones who served as Kohanim. There was a period before the dedication of the Mishkan that Moshe acted as Kohen, who Shmuel, the Kodesh Shemo, Shmuel was one of those who called his name Kodim Hashem. You see how close we are? We're describing the closest of God. We've moved from the distant Melech to the close Tata. Kodim Hashem, they called to God for whom Yahaneh. And he answers, you can't get closer than that. Yes?
I didn't understand the question.
No. You should ask, was it written by Moshe because it has the name Moshe in it? That's what bothered me when I read the Bible. And I thought that I would gloss over it and hope that nobody would catch it, but somebody caught it. And I have not yet found an answer in the Mefarshim. In other words, you see, if Moshe is writing this Baruch HaKodesh, then maybe that's exactly what the Mefarshim wanted him to write. Moshe, it says, I remember a Medrash at the beginning of Parashat Emor, where the Medrash says that Hera HaKodesh Baruch Hu Moshe, God showed Moshe door-door the Dorshav, door-door the Chachamav, door-door the Gazlanav. He showed him every generation, and the wise men of the generation, the Tzaddikim, the Rishayim, the thieves, and it even reaches the generation of Shmuel. Av Shehed Olo, he showed him Shaul Ubonov Nothin Tahorev, Shaul and his sons fallen by the sword. So even Moshe certainly knew about Shmuel, and if it's written Baruch HaKodesh, you know, so then we can, and we're not heretics, so then we can, but I plan on looking further to see if I can find something. Ba'amud onon yedaber aleihem, in the cloud, the pillar of the cloud, yedaber aleihem. A number of times in Torah it says that when God speaks to Moshe and Aaron, there is the Amud Ha'onon, the pillar of cloud, and from the pillar of cloud he speaks to them. Shamru Eidotav, they kept his Eidotav are his testimonies. V'chok Natan Lamo, and to them he transmitted his law. Now, what does it mean, Shamru Eidotav? Is this something to, Moshe, Aaron, and Shmuel, they were Shomrei Torah Mitzvahs. How do you like that? You know? Is that the way it is? Yeah. So I see in the first difference. Some say, even for Moshe, Aaron, and Shmuel, to be Shomrei Torah Mitzvahs, that's good. But the word Shomer can also mean something else. To keep it and preserve it and watch over it. And how do you watch over it? By transmitting it to the next generation. The ones who watched, stood watch, as shomrim over it, to make sure that nothing will ever defile the words of Torah, is the way in which Moshe, Aaron, and Shmuel gave Torah over to the Jewish people. Hashem Elokeinu, God, our God, was still talking to God, direct. Ato Anitam, you answer them. Kale no say hayita lahem. The word no say can have a number of meanings. The word no say can mean God forgave them their indiscretions. No say avon bapesha, God forgives avon bapesha. No say can also mean that he raised and he uplifted them. That's one of my speeches at a wedding. A wedding is nisuin. Nisuin is a wedding. The word naso or sot has a lot of meanings in Lashon Kodesh. We just mentioned two of them. Nosei, to be forgiven. no state to be raised and uplifted, nor so it only been a soul to count. So, you know, I say that, you know, the two of you together, you will be raised and uplifted. The day of your wedding is a day of forgiveness of sins. No, say, oh, you are going to carry together. It also means to carry. To carry? The simplest meaning. No, say to carry a matan, that you're going to carry together, the two of you together are now going to share the blessed burden of building a home. Am I getting you all emotional now? And Nassau also means you have to count your blessings. Each one of you comes to the marriage with all sorts of gifts and blessings and talents, and you have to put the two of them together. Well, I'm ready for a chuppah now. Kail no say ha'italahem. Yes, there were moments at which they fell, and you forgave them, and you raised and lifted them. The no came, are only no town. And if they have to be punished, you avenge them for their deeds. Moshe and Aaron will not go into Eretz Yisrael. Shmuel died young because his children did not go in his footsteps. Roman Hashem Elokeinu, raise and uplift God our God, the Hishtachavu Lahar Kodesho, and bow down to his holy mountain. Ki Kadosh Hashem Elokeinu. Here again, what we have done is we have now taken the God of a whole world. We started off in Lechun Ranano, and the fact is that where Lechun Ranano talked about the 40 years of the desert, our point Shana, we've come full cycle. We're back to Moshe and Aaron and what took place in the desert. But more than anything else, we have now pinpointed this God who we talked about first as the one who had created the world, and the one who expresses himself through nature, and then finally he also expresses himself beyond nature. For whom? For his people. Where does he dwell? Zion. That's where he's Gadol. That's where he's Kadosh. So therefore, raise and uplift God our God, the Hishtachavu, and bow down Lahar Kodesho, to his holy mountain, Ki Kadosh Hashem Elokeinu, because holy God is our God. The last chapter is the five Pesukim of Nizmul Toda, which we will learn in Yes Hashem after Hanukkah, and it's an amazing, fine, amazing Pesukim. Amazing Pesukim. Okay? I had a suggestion to read the parak over with the class all together, but what I would suggest is, maybe we'll do it next class, but read it over. You come home, read over the chapter. Read over the chapters. Can you do that homework for me? Okay, listen, we should have, as I said yesterday, we should be safe to have a next Hanukkah. By the way, you can come before Hanukkah, as far as I'm concerned, you can come before Hanukkah. We have one today, but we need more.
I read something today that boggled.